G'day, Martin. Good to be with you from Canberra.
Now, I saw you on TV during the state election coverage in a bit of a cameo with ABC. How did you enjoy that?
Look, 5.5 hours sitting in one place, paying close attention to some very complex and detailed numbers is a tall order. But look, it was a real privilege to be able to sit on the panel there on election night. Thoroughly pleased with the outcome. I know the count's still underway, but seems to be pointing towards my good friend and colleague Peter Gutwin being returned as Premier, and of course a strong result for Jeremy Rockliffe up the coast as well. But look, a very interesting experience, and getting to meet Anthony Green as well, who I reckon many of your listeners enjoy understanding his analysis of election results as well. It was a very interesting night indeed.
And you and Nick McKim didn't see eye to eye on a couple of things, which I thought was quite entertaining from a viewer's point of view.
Well, I'm glad that after a few hours there was a bit of entertainment. Look, I like to think that I generally behave myself pretty well in those settings, and viewers want honest analysis from each political party's point of view. I did become a little frustrated when I listened to Cassie O'Connor give her concession speech, and one, it went on for a very long time, almost 20 minutes I think it was, but also I think Tasmanians are sick of being told that the place they live in is no good, that everything is really bad. Now, we all accept that there are things that need improving. Hospital waiting lists could get shorter. It could be easier to get into a house, a more affordable house. Schools could have better resources available to them. Everyone, Liberal, Labor, Green, whoever, acknowledges that. But when I listened to Cassie O'Connor's speech, I've got to say, I was left thinking, and I made the point on the night, if you closed your eyes and forgot you're in Tasmania, listening to Cassie O'Connor's concession speech, you could be forgiven for thinking you're in a corrupt third world country, which Nick McKim did not like.
No.
but I don't think many Tasmanians liked her speech.
No, indeed. Enough green politics for now. On the subject of elections and things like that, on the weekend we had the pre-selection for the Liberal Senate ticket for the next election, and you've been put in the number one spot. Eric Abetz, who has had the number one spot for such a long time, has been bumped down to number three. But he was one of the first people to congratulate you, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it was, of course, no one goes into these meetings with a preconceived idea of what the outcome will be, but I was delighted, very humbled to have been endorsed to lead the Liberal ticket for the next election, for the Senate election, along with Wendy Askew from Launceston and Eric Abetz at number three. Eric has made a massive contribution to our state as a representative here in Canberra for 27 years this year. There's been a lot of commentary around the ticket and our capacity to perform. What I'm focused on is the fact that we need to return all three of us to Canberra. That's what I'll be campaigning for, and I think we have a good case. The budget last night was another thing that we need to campaign on, and the three of us, I hope, after the next election will be senators going back to Canberra to represent Tasmania.
Well, if I didn't say congratulations, congratulations on getting the number one spot, and I guess it's a changing of the guard, because not so long ago you actually worked for Eric Abetz.
Yeah, about 15 years ago, I think it was, or thereabouts, I did work for Eric. The pre-selectors of the Liberal Party obviously are look at each of us. They understand what we offer. They take into account current political environment and the matters that we as a party are dealing with, and they make a decision. When I'm in the room giving my speech and answering questions, I'm the only person in the room that doesn't get a vote. My one job is to put my pitch to them. I did that, as did Eric, as did Wendy, and they've made their decision, and I thank you for your kind words. The hard work started on Monday, of course, back up here in Canberra, but when I get back down to Tassie on Friday, out on the streets, convincing Tasmanians we're the team to back.
Last week was announced there's going to be an extra $6 million given to the Tasmanian government from the federal government to help with recovery. Our tourist industry, it's been, as we know, decimated during the pandemic, and you've got a thing, the government have got a thing called the Regional Tourism Initiative, which we already had some money from, but they've topped it up again.
Yeah, that's right. So during the pandemic, we announced $50 million for the recovery of regional tourism across Australia. Tasmania got, much to the annoyance of many other parts of the country, but the lion's share, nearly 30% of that funding. And the $6 million we announced last week was part of that. That money's going to the following projects. There's $2 million to support Tourism Tasmania with their winter tourism marketing campaign. So getting people from the mainland to come on down to Tasmania at a time when we need visitors. Everyone knows that's when our hotels start to empty out, when our restaurants and cafes aren't as full as they could be. So $2 million to supplement their tourism campaign for the winter months. $2.8 million to support drive tourism around agritourism. So getting people to, open up their farms, their farm stays, put on new experiences, farm gate operations that might take people off the beaten track. It's something that I think a lot of people, when they come to Tasmania, originally from overseas, and hopefully once again when those borders open, but interstate at least, they love the idea of being able to go and buy fresh fruit and veg or produce from a farm or some of the wonderful wines and beers that are made on some of the farms around Tasmania, So this will support that, $2.8 million there. $500,000 to support attracting new business events, so conferences and the like, and a further $580,000 to support getting people to come and write about the Tasmanian tourism experiences, visiting journalists and trade partners that will therefore go and advertise our state for us elsewhere in the marketplace, attracting people to come down. So all of those things, $6 million, another $7.5 million to be spent on these initiatives to drive demand, and hopefully the end result is we see people coming here, spending their hard-earned cash in our hotels, cafes, pubs, clubs and the like to have a good time and support the thousands of people that work in that industry.
Yeah, and of course you're Assistant Minister for Tourism, I think, so that's money well spent, I think. It's rather than just, throwing $6 million at a TV advertising campaign, there's been a bit of thought going into how that's going to be spent, which makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely, and all of this is industry-led. I mean, governments don't have all the answers, and in fact, often they have none of the answers. Industry know what they need, so we go to them and say, what do you need? They tell us what they need. We'll work with them on trying to find the best way to use that finite resource, taxpayers' money, to support them, and this is a product of that process.
And finally, Jono, the budget last night handed down, I think it was probably better than a lot of people expected, and the reason for that, I'm guessing, is because the economy coming out of the pandemic has been better than the federal government predicted as well, so things have gone better than expected. So on the surface, it doesn't appear to be a bad budget at all.
No, look, we are still in difficult times globally. As the PM pointed out to all of us in the party room yesterday, the pandemic is raging around the globe worse than it was 12 months ago. So we are by no means clear of this. What we need to do is to keep Australia safe and also secure our pathway to recovery. And yesterday's budget, last night's budget, was all about that. In a Tasmanian setting, it's about making sure that Tasmania plays its part and we support it from a federal level to do exactly that, including the boost to GST revenue, which is now $2.8 billion up from a projected $2.4 billion. That's going to help fund health and education and other projects in Tasmania through Peter Gutwin's government. The $375 million to support road infrastructure right across the state, including the Midland Highway. There's projects in Bass, including safety and freight corridors, and a range of projects like that as well. The Port of Burnie shiploader upgrade is included in that as well. So those sorts of things are very important. But, and I know you don't like seafood, but I'm pretty sure you like a good gin or whiskey. But the tax relief for distillers, there's over 50 distillers across our state, mostly in regional and remote locations through the Midlands, up the northwest. They are getting part of $255 million of tax relief. They will be able to claim back $300,000, up from $100,000 in rebates. This is great news. It means these businesses will be able to compete on a level playing field with their international competitors. Of course, the extension of the instant asset write-off, those things, in addition to the $67.7 million boost to the Tasmanian Freight Equalisation Scheme, this is a very good package for Tasmania, for businesses, for households, and for paving our way back to economic prosperity, which is what we need.
Mm. I think the distillers one was sort of leaked pre-budget, and we knew about that last week, but the Freight Equalisation Scheme, does that include extending the free vehicle part of it?
No, so that is a separate component. That's the Bass Strait Passenger Vehicle Equalisation Scheme, something that I'll be talking to the state government about. I know that has been a hit, and the tourism industry are keen to see that extended. Obviously, there are some issues to work out there. I mean, the fares and the fact that when demand is high, as it was under that scheme, fares went up. That is something I think the state will need to work on and make sure that doesn't happen again if ever there is an extension of that program. But the $67.7 million extension to the TFES, the freight part of that scheme, means that eligible goods that are imported into Tasmania via the mainland are covered where there is no Australian equivalent. So previously they weren't included, but this is really, it's a lifesaver for a whole heap of businesses in Tasmania. There was a bit of talk about it last budget, but it's been delivered this budget, and good news for importers and exporters. Anyone who gets goods across the Bass Strait win out of this announcement.
Terrific. Jono, thanks for your time as always today. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Indeed, mate, and I hope to catch you very soon.